And good morning to everybody. Again, this is Leo Gold and another edition of the New Capital Show, special fun drive edition of the New Capital Show. It's a pleasure to be with you here in a couple of days after the inauguration of Barack Obama. Absolutely an amazing event, I thought, a couple of days ago. Really was. Regardless of your place in the political spectrum, whether you don't want him to be president at all the way to you really want him to be, to you want him to be, but you don't think he's going to do anything, it was really a wonderful thing. And I think most people are saying what was wonderful was to see so many people together. That's the main thing. It was the power of community at work, and you saw that during the inauguration. We are a community radio station. We are funded by you, and we operate in the same spirit that you saw operating out on the mall in Washington, D.C. That is the spirit in which we operate our radio station. Coming up in just a few minutes, Peter Brown and Jeffrey Garver, authors of a new book out called Right Relationship, Building a Whole Earth Economy. I think it is safe to say that at no time in recent memory, in the past decades, has the economy been in the news to the extent that it is now. Yes, it is a hard time, but it's also, I think, a very hopeful time. And so many of the ideas that we have been talking about for years now on the New Capital Show, those ideas are now coming front and center as we all grapple with what's next. What do we want the economy to look like? What's fair? What's right? What's the function of the economy? And Jeff and Peter address these issues in the book, Right Relationship, Building a Whole Earth Economy. They're going to be coming up on the show, and we are offering their book, brand new, hot off the presses, as a thank you gift at the $100 level today. It's very important that we fund the station. We, of course, know that economic times are difficult right now, that it's not as easy. People don't have as much discretionary income. I'm a financial advisor. I understand that very clearly. But I've said all along, it is important and vital that we continue to fund the institutions that are important to us in our lives, regardless of bad times or good times. It is clear to me that in the past 8 years of a presidency and a government that has been very difficult for many of us in this community to have observed and to have, frankly, endured, it is clear that we have played a role, a major role, in bringing about change in the government. Now, is that change going to be everything that we wished for? You know, I doubt it. I doubt it. Does anybody ever get everything that they wish for? No, it doesn't happen. But if you think it's not important that EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, is being run by someone who believes in environmental protection, if you think it's not important that the Energy Department is being run by a Nobel laureate who understands clearly the threat of global warming, the rise of carbon dioxide, and the need to put our energy footprint in this country on a sustainable course, if you think it's not important that the Interior Department, which administers vast swaths of federal lands in this country, if these departments are not in the hands of people who are sympathetic to sustainability, then I just differ with you. I differ with you. It makes a very, very big difference. And, you know, the headlines bear that out. News analysis from New York Times, January 22nd. Scientists welcome Obama's words. Scientists welcome Obama's words. This is an article about how really happy scientists are to see a new administration and getting back to science. And if you think that this is not an issue that impacts us here in Texas, today from the New York Times, in Texas, a line on the in the curriculum revives evolution debate. The evolution, the debate over evolution, I mean, evolution, which is something that is a law, it's a biological occurrence that is ongoing in all sorts of processes every single day. It's available for analysis in the fossil records of our planet. It's not a theory. It's the way the world works. And yet, there are those here in Texas, from where we are broadcasting, who would tamper with the curriculum in order to get and to water down laws of science that are being taught to our children. So these are critical, critical issues. They impact all of us. And so I think there is no question, no question, that we're better off as of 2 days ago than we were the day before. Is it going to be perfect? I'm sure it's not. And we at KPFT are here to bring you ongoing coverage and information about the issues and how the new government is going to approach those issues. I have my concerns, frankly. I have my concerns that the Obama administration and Democratic Congress is not going to do all that it needs to do to bring about a better economy. And so we're going to talk about some of those things today with our guests, Peter Brown and Jeff Garver. Peter Brown is a professor in the School of Environment, the Department of Geography, and the Department of Natural Resource Sciences at McGill University in Montreal. And Jeffrey Garver is an environmental consultant and lecturer in law also in Montreal. And they are coming to us both from a very balmy, I'm told, I talked to them earlier today, a very balmy 20 degrees in Montreal. Peter Brown, welcome to the New Capital Show. It's a pleasure to have you on today.
It's great to be here, Leo. Really good. And I appreciate your introduction of the issues right on target.
Terrific. We want to be on target. We don't want to be off target. First of all, before we get to some questions with Peter and Jeff, 713-526-5738 is the phone number. You want to pick up their book today, and I know you're going to want to pick up their book today, especially after we have our discussion. You're going to say, I got to read that book. Well, you can. You can read it. $100 pledge level to KPFT gets you Peter Brown and Jeffrey Garver's book, Right Relationship, Building a Whole Earth Economy. Let's get right to it, Peter. What is a whole earth economy?
Well, what we think a whole...
Yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry.
That was the question. What is a whole earth economy, and do we have one now? Because we hear this word globalization all the time. It would seem we already have such a thing.
Well, we think a whole earth economy is one that reflects a right relationship. It's respectful of the earth, it's respectful of the earth ecosystems, it's respectful of the laws of nature, such as you just mentioned, the laws of evolution, but the laws of physics and chemistry, and that's respectful of other persons. And we think we have an economy now that's in wrong relationship with all those things, an economy that tears those down instead of builds them up. So, but we say to get on course to right relationship, we have to ask and answer five very simple questions. What's the economy for? How does it work? How big should it be? What's fair? And how should it be governed? And what we do in the book is try to show that the current economic system can't give satisfactory or even coherent answers to those questions, and that there are much better answers that could be given, which we give in the book.
Now, before we get to those five questions, Jeffrey Garver, let me ask you, this idea of right relationship, where does that come from? What is the notion of right relationship?
That's a concept that for the authors of the book, Peter and me, and we had some other authors, I should mention Robert Howell, Steve Segge, and Keith Helmuth. We've all are Quakers, and that's a concept that is very strong in Quakerism. It's basically living life in a way that is right by other humans and the other living beings that with whom we share the earth. And when you apply it to the economy, the idea of right relationship, we think, as Peter was getting at, it has to take into account the new information we have about our particular time in history, the fact that we're living at a time when, unlike any other time in human civilization, we are now up against the ecological limits of the Earth, the ability of the Earth to support life and to regenerate itself as we take things out of the natural world and throw waste back into it. This is what climate change is about. This is what the fact that we are now seeing species go extinct at 1,000 times the rate of the natural rate. This is what the fact that now 80% of the ocean's fisheries are overexploited. Dead zones south of the Mississippi River where it enters the Gulf of Mexico and other places and so on. We have to learn to have a new kind of relationship, a right relationship between our economy and the Earth, given this unprecedented situation.
Yeah. Peter, on 740, that's an AM radio station here in Houston, you know, they have these big mega radio shows, Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, and so forth. I pop in occasionally and just kind of hear what they're saying. Yesterday, Sean Hannity was talking about the notion that global warming is a made-up idea, that there's nothing to it. And of course, that radio station is broadcasting to large numbers of people here in Texas who are hearing that. Why does scientific inquiry and the results that come from scientific inquiry, why are there so many in the population who wish to doubt the results that scientists deliver?
Well, it would be speculation to know why he has those views. There's an expression the medieval church has called invincible ignorance, right? That somebody is just so far out of tune with reality that you can't convince them with any argument. I don't know this gentleman well enough to know if that would apply to him, but one of the very uncomfortable facts about global warming, and it is a fact, it is happening, and it's happening very, very fast, is that we really have to change what we do and how we think. And we have to do that quickly, and it has to be profound. James Hansen, who is a very distinguished scientist with NASA, has argued that the point at which the climate gets into a new system and becomes very, very unstable and much warmer is 350 parts per million of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, and we're at 387 now, so we're past the danger point. So if we want to avoid very substantial sea level rise, very substantial change in agricultural patterns and so forth, we have to retool our societies completely. We have to take a really hard look at the technologies we're using, like the private car. We have to take a really big look at the drive for more and more wealth all the time. And we have to take a very, very hard look at the population size. The looked at in terms of total impact on the Earth, the population of the United States is vastly too large.
Yeah.
Are all uncomfortable issues. All of those issues are uncomfortable.
It was David Brower, I think, the founder of the Sierra Club here in the United States, who said that the carrying capacity of the United States was passed at around 100 million people, 150 million people. We're double that at this point, I think. To get to your book, the five questions that you address in the book, and we don't want to give the book away. We definitely don't want to give the book away. The book is available today at the $100 pledge level, Right Relationship, Building a Whole Earth Economy. The first question you ask is, what is the economy for? What is the economy for, Jeff Garver? What is an economy, and why should people think about that question?
Well, this may seem to be something that where there's an obvious answer. Of course, the economy we are taught to believe is for making as many of us as wealthy as possible. It's for driving continually towards more and more growth. We have all been taught that is the ultimate sign of whether we're in good shape or not, if our economy's growing or not. And the way things work right now, it's very difficult to imagine an economy that's not growing. But what that whole point of view doesn't take into account is, again, the ecological limits of what the Earth can take from the human economy. So we think it's better to start with a completely new answer, a different answer, that the economy should be for preserving and enhancing the integrity, resilience, and beauty of the commonwealth of life. And when we talk about the commonwealth of life, we're talking about human communities, but also human communities as an integral and interdependent part of the entire web of life on the planet. Another part of this view that the economy, the Earth is there to serve the economy, the human economy, is one that puts humans a separate and apart from the rest of the community life on the planet. And we're proposing that in order to be true citizens of the Earth's life communities, we have to change that perspective and see ourselves as integrated into the community of life.
If you're just joining us, this is the New Capital Show. I'm Leo Gold, your host for the New Capital Show, and My guests today are Peter Brown and Jeffrey Garver, the authors of Right Relationship, Building a Whole Earth Economy. This new book, right off the press, is available at the $100 pledge level today. And you can pick it up by calling and making your pledge to the station, 713-526-5738. Never in my lifetime has there been a time when there has been such ferment about the idea of the economy and how it should look and how it should change and what opportunities do we have to reconstruct it. In that light, Peter Brown, Barack Obama used the words, I think, in his inaugural speech, common good, the other day. He talked about the common good. Do you think that, or do you have any idea if his vision includes as overarching a vision as yours, it would include not just human communities, but the entire planetary community?
It was very hard to tell from the inaugural address. he's an exceptionally thoughtful and profound man. I think if you put the question to him directly, he would almost have to answer. The common good includes, you know, the prospects of life overall on Earth. But I couldn't infer an answer to that from the text of the speech, which I've actually not only heard but read.
Yeah, so we just don't know at this point whether it's a priority. But presumably, if it is, it's going to come through some of the departments I talked about at the top of the show, EPA, Energy, Interior, and then legislation that would come out of Congress as well. Second question. How does it work? How does the economy work? Either one of you can take that one.
Yeah, let me take that because Jeff's really good on the next one. So it goes back to what you said earlier, you know, about not taking on board the teachings and knowledge we've gained through science. The present economic system, as conceived of by people like Chairman Bernanke, you know, basically is out of touch with at least 200 years of developments in science. In some of my lectures, I use his book, and he's got a textbook he wrote with two other people. It's 615 pages long. If you look up climate change, biodiversity loss, natural resources, dead zones, any of those kind of things, either there's no entry or you referred to page 30. Page 30 has a green box on it that says that the economic indicators don't do a very good job of telling us about the relationship between the economy and the biosphere or the ecosphere. And then the other 585 pages of the book use those indicators. So it's a clean miss, you know. It's just, you know, standing outside there, blasting away, and missing the whole friggin' barn.
Yeah. So the whole area of natural capital is excluded. What you're saying, the whole area of natural capital and probably social capital and other things where we don't have the ability currently to price capital are totally excluded from the economic orthodox calculations of our governing economists.
At least that's true of natural capital, yes. It doesn't show up in the equations. It doesn't show up in the conceptual framework. So we've given over the future of the planet to people who not only don't understand how it works, but have no apparent interest in finding out how it works.
And is their interest contrary to finding out how it works, meaning this idea of growth and wealth creation and so forth?
It would overturn if they took into account the limits of the Earth to support life and to assimilate the wastes of society. It would change their entire model, and they would have to basically start over. They'd have to rewrite their textbooks. They'd have to teach something very different in the economics departments that are taught worldwide, which are basically, you know, teach us how to commit collective suicide. That's what's going on in those departments.
So the notion is their accounting is all wrong.
Well, it's not only all wrong. It leaves out a lot of the things you should know. It's not only filled with mistakes, it's filled with omissions.
And so, I mean, one of the things it sounds like we need to do is to learn to count, to learn to account for our economic activities.
Yeah, but we don't want to start with accounting in terms of money, because then you're playing into their hands. You want to start with accounting in terms of how the Earth functions. How much carbon dioxide can the Earth tolerate? How much additional acid can the ocean tolerate? How many more dead zones can we have until we lose the whole fishery? We have to start with the way the world Earth works, have an accounting system that is in biophysical terms, mm-hmm. and then use that to constrain, you know, the accounting in money monetary terms. We say in the book that money is a social license, right, to intervene in the Earth's life support capacity.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to reconceptualize money from the point of view of the Earth, not the point of view of the central banker.
Let's get to the third question. Jeff, Peter says you're gonna hit this one out of the park.
Well, there's some pressure.
How big should the economy be? Is the question. Third question. How big should the economy be?
Well, you know, in a way, that question alone speaks volumes. Because it's so rarely asked by the people that Peter was just talking about. There's no mechanism within mainstream economics to even ask the question, should there be some kind of a turnoff valve when the pressures of the economy are on our ecological base are growing too big. It just doesn't exist. So there's this relentless march towards more and more economic growth, which at least up until today means much more and more throughput of our limited natural capital. So what we talk about in this chapter is the need for integrating the ecological sciences into economics so that we can know when that shutoff valve needs to be turned on, and we have to figure out different ways to go. And if you look at that science right now, Peter mentioned the 350 part per million threshold in the atmosphere for carbon dioxide. Well, we're already at 380 something or 390 parts per million. That's telling us that we're already too big in terms of our economy. The other thing, the other science that looks at this is ecological footprint science, which is a fairly new science that needs a lot more development. But what that tells us is that ever since the late 1980s, we've been using up the Earth faster than it can regenerate itself, and that's due to human interventions. Another part of this chapter talks about a formula, a way of looking at these issues that was developed in the 1970s. It's called the IPAT formula, or was back then. It basically says that I, which is the human impact on the environment, on the ecology of the Earth, is a function of, which means it depends on, the human population, how many of us there are. Affluence, so how rich we are, because the richer we are, the more we tend to have an impact. Technologies, which can either increase impact or help decrease impact. And you heard in President Obama's inaugural speech the need for more efficient ways to use natural resources and energy, and those certainly would help, although we don't think those ultimately are going to be sufficient. And then
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Just the last factor is ethics. It's we can make choices, and this is really the big individual and collective challenge we face. Rich people don't have to buy Hummers; they can still take the bus, and we think there's going to have to be a lot more of that if we're going to be able to continue life on Earth as we know it.
If you're just joining us, this is the New Capital Show. My guests today are Peter Brown and Jeffrey Carver, Garver. Right Relationship, Building a Whole Earth Economy, is now available just out for a $100 pledge to the station, 713-526-5738. The book is yours. You can take all of the things that we're talking about at the high level and more or less generalities, and you can delve deep into the discussion of what these gentlemen have written in their book and about how to bring about a whole Earth economy. Jeffrey, you talked about technology. To what extent do things like the Toyota Prius and alternative energy and solar panels and so forth, things that right now I think are generally looked at as the first line of recreation, recreation of the national economy, to what extent do these things contribute, and are they important to building a whole Earth economy?
Well, there's a tremendous opportunity, particularly in North America, where we are the most wasteful people in the world, both in terms of energy and in terms of resources. So those kinds of technologies, green building, green community development, public transport. Our average ecological footprint in the United States is roughly twice the average in Europe, and Europe isn't exactly suffering. And if you compare it to places like Bangladesh and Sudan or something, obviously their footprint is much, much lower. So we can use technology to get at a lot of what should be considered low-hanging fruit, more efficient vehicles. And I hope with President Obama in there, the federal government will now show some leadership on raising fuel economy standards. But the caution we point out in the book is that we are very unlikely to address the very urgent situation we face ecologically on this planet by technology alone. We have to look at those other policy arenas of population, consumption, and ethics. You know, unfortunately, politicians love the technology thing. It's you can get people swooning at the idea of hydrogen
cars. Seems like there's no hard choices.
But they're only going to get it so far.
Let's go on to question number four. Peter Brown, question number four that you focus on in your book, Right Relationship, is what is a fair distribution of the economy's benefits and burdens? What is a fair distribution of the benefits and burdens of the economy? Why don't you take that one?
Yeah, good. So, yeah, let's start with what's unfair. I mean, what's unfair is people who are desperately poor in a world awash in money, right? That there are people who have tens of billions of dollars, and they're people who can't get a square meal or a clean glass of water. This is so patently unfair that we need to create a world in which this doesn't occur. But fairness also includes respect for other species. We're crowding other species literally off the face of the earth by changes in land use cover, by the abusive behavior toward the oceans and things. So fairness is something between humans and between humans and other species. And what we envision in the book, for instance, is a different, a wholly different scheme. If you can really get some terrific white wine from New Zealand, right, it's great stuff. You know, it comes over here in a ship that produces carbon dioxide all the way along. We say if we're going to stay within the kind of Hansen limits that he's talking about, 350, or get to the 350 parts per million, we need to have a high price on those kinds of activities, and we suggest that we would set up trusts to protect the global atmosphere and the global oceans, and that we would take the money from such uses and use it to combat the radical injustice that persists between human communities. But at the same time, we would be strengthening the health of natural communities by forcing the human race to live within its share of the natural limits.
So the idea of a carbon tax that is being bandied about, whether it would come in some market trading form or just be a flat tax assessed by the government, this would be a part of that in terms of bringing about fairness of pricing for human activity.
Well, in a way, it depends on how you're thinking about a carbon tax. We suggest very strongly in the book that we don't talk about getting the price right, but we talk about getting the limit right,
mm-hmm.
right, the biophysical limit, and then we use the price system to stay within that, right?
So the target is a limit, and we're pricing to a target.
Right, right. But the target is not a money price; it's a biophysical quantity
mm-hmm.
that has a scientific basis. And so if gas is, let's say, $4 a gallon, and people are still using too much of it, a carbon tax would have to go up to get us on a track toward a 350 target.
And I guess what you envision is we would rely upon scientists to tell us where those levels are.
That's right. Well, science subject to public discourse, not some sort of a closed door arrangement.
Yeah.
But I think one of the many really refreshing things is that science is back at the policy table.
Yes. We hope that's the case. It looks like it is the case, and we're going to hope that's the case. Right Relationship, Building a Whole Earth Economy is the book. At the $100 level, you can pick it up for yourself, 713-526-5738. We are in pledge drive here at KPFT. You will not hear these types of discussions. You will not hear these types of ideas on any other radio station in the city. Maybe a little bit on NPR. You'll hear a little bit here and there. Breaking into the national news and so forth, but you won't hear it in depth and you won't hear it as consistently as you do here at KPFT. We're in the forefront of discussing what should the world be going forward. And if you believe that you're part of that community of caring people, show your support. 713-526-5738. The last of the big five questions that you frame your book around, gentlemen, is how should the economy be governed? Jeffrey Garver, you want to take that one? The last one, how should the economy be governed? We've kind of danced around that question in discussing the other questions, but what is the answer to that?
Well, Peter talked about the trust, and the global trust that we've proposed, and there's some others. But let me just point out to your readers that or your listeners that each chapter begins with a story that tries to give some put some of these ideas into a real context. And we start this chapter by talking about a hearing before the Canadian Parliament's International Trade Committee, in which the opposition parties were allowed to bring in experts, and I actually was testifying on behalf of the environment, raising concerns that I had with the way that environment is included very weakly in most trade agreements with the Canada and the United States with their trading partners. But there were also the pork industry was there, and it became clear to me as I watched this hearing that it's so normal these days for the national interest of a place like Canada to be translated in a context like that to how many Canadian pigs can we sell to, in this case, Colombia. And it's sort of, you know, there's just a lack of imagination in our governance system that is going to look at how we trade, how we interact economically in a way that's going to be respectful of human communities and ecological communities. So we propose, in addition to these global trusts, we say you need to have, for certain things like climate change, you need to have a system of global rules. They have to be enforced by some kind of a judicial system, so an expanded world court that has real powers to issue relief and hold people accountable. And we need to have much more information, again, a rebirth of scientists, of science, that's informing this governance system. Much more information on our ecological impact, and then ways to translate that into limits on our economic activity.
Peter Brown, anything you want to add to how the economy should be governed?
Well, let me just quickly mention our website. It's more,
please.
moraleconomy.org.
Moraleconomy.org.
Right. Well, one of the things that we stress is that we need an analytical capability to understand how the Earth works. And, you know, we call this an Earth or World Reserve, similar to the Federal Reserve, which Federal Reserve controls interest rates and the money supply. And we think what we need to do is understand how the basic wealth on Earth functions and how it supports life, which is the basis of all of Earth, your radio station, you, me, Jeff, and all the cattle and groundhogs there are in Texas, all depend upon the photosynthetic capacity of plants, the ability of plants to turn sunlight into sugar that we then use to run ourselves and our whole economy. And what the present money system does is it just ignores that, right? And so we need to start over with the way the planet works, how the wealth on the planet is generated, how it's distributed, and then fit the economy within that.
Yep. Okay, gentlemen, I want to thank you very much for coming on the New Capital Show today. The book is Right Relationship, Building a Whole Earth Economy. I know you both have appointments that you need to get to. Peter Brown and Jeffrey Garver are the authors. I've been reading this. It's been on my nightstand for the past several days, and I've been reading it. It's very, very thought-provoking. Really makes you think about what you don't know and what we should know. And I would invite everybody to call today, pick up a copy, make your pledge to the station, 713-526-5738. Peter and Jeffrey, thanks again for coming on the New Capital Show today.
Thank you, Leo. Great to talk to you.
Great day.
Leo, thanks so much.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I will return. This is the New Capital Show. KPFT 90.1 FM in Houston, Texas. Welcome back to the New Capital Show, www.newcapitalshow.com. Newcapitalshow.com. You can sign up for our mailing list, listen to repeats of other shows, lodge your comments or complaints, send me email. The telephone number here, 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. We are in our winter fund drive at KPFT. We are in our winter fund drive at KPFT, and it's very, very important that everybody in the listening audience who uses KPFT step up and support KPFT. KPFT is a commons. You heard us talking about the commons. The commons. And the notion of the commons is property that is owned by all of us. And literally, KPFT is owned by all of us. It's a nonprofit. There's no profit incentive. It is governed by the Pacifica Foundation, but it literally is a commons owned by you, the community, by us, the community. It is a commonwealth. It is a broadcasting commonwealth. We don't put any advertising on. We don't take advertising like other stations do. It's not privately owned. It is a common, and we have to take care of the commons. There's something called the tragedy of the commons. It's a very, very famous economic concept, and it came about from grazing times from the grazing of cattle during medieval times. And each town had a town commons, a big green grassy pasture in the middle of the village, and it was free for everyone to graze their cattle. And so what would happen? You would have a tragedy of the commons. Everyone would come and graze their cattle on the commons rather than grazing the cattle on their own land, because they didn't want their own land to get overgrazed. And what did we get? Overgrazing of the commons, right? We had a few people overuse the common property. Well, you have a tragedy of the commons when we only have a few people supporting the station for the good of everybody, right? We over-trample those people. Over-trample those people. And we don't want a tragedy of the commons. So the way we avoid a tragedy of the commons is for everyone in the Commonwealth to step up and do their part. And President Obama was talking about that very thing in his speech the other day. It wasn't addressed directly using those words, but it was really threaded everywhere in the speech, talking about personal responsibility. Personal responsibility means you accept responsibility for your actions and your activities. And if you listen to KPFT, then one of the ways you accept responsibility for listening is you make a pledge to KPFT so that we don't overgraze the commons. Right, Dwayne? Have I said all this right? I think I have.
I think so, yes. It sounded good to me.
Or am I confusing everyone?
Perhaps.
I don't want to do that.
Well, I'll tell you, there's one person you didn't confuse. You actually inspired, and that's Tula up in Conroe. And Tula loves the show.
Thank you, Tula.
And actually put the digits down and went fantastic plastic all over the show and signed up for a copy of Right Relationship book.
She's going to get it. It's a beautiful book.
Mm-hmm.
It's about 100 and it's about 200 pages. It's not. I'm sorry. The footnotes begin at page 170. So it's a 170 page book. a very, very well-formatted, easy-to-read, and well-footnoted, cites all sorts of major sources that are influential, like Henry Thoreau and Walden and so forth. All sorts of things in this book that are thought-provoking and get us all thinking about the future of our economy. And this is the time that we want to do it. We've got new government coming in, and we at KPFT want to be vigilant about making our views about how the economy should change heard.
Excellent thought, and we need the phones to ring right now, and hopefully they will. Leo, I'm going to be passing the torch here to David Courtney in just a moment. I've got to get on a conference call. But I do want to say, you know, as inspiring as this week has been, we hope that you feel inspired to support your community radio station. We're only here because people like you have felt that way about this station for nigh upon 39 years. Born on March 1st, 1970 here in Houston, broadcasting, you know, with a couple of pauses in there during, you know, some, we're off the air for 10 days during Ike, we've been shot at, we've been bombed, we've been taken off the air for periods of time, but KPFT has come back stronger each and every time from these experiences, and as a community, as a representative of the community, as a voice of the community, and as a window into others in the community, we open these windows and share our passion with you, and we hope that you support that with your tax-deductible pledge. As our now President Obama said on the day before he took the inaugural oath, or at least a version of it for the first time, he asked all the American people to turn the Martin Luther King holiday into an ongoing commitment to enrich the lives of others in their communities, their cities, their country, and on the planet. And we're asking you to support that because that's what KPFT represents. We've been here, lo, these many years as an expression of the community, as a voice of the community, and serving the community. We are a 501c3 nonprofit educational foundation. The Pacifica Foundation is asking you to consider making a tax-deductible pledge of support. Only you know how important the radio station is to you. Only you know how much you can reasonably share to ensure that the voices, the culture, the expressives of this community are brought forth through these airwaves. And we appreciate each of you who realize the truth of that. We are listener-sponsored. It's not commercial sponsorship. It's not corporate sponsorship. It's not underwritten by some corporation or some other entity. It's underwritten by you. So we ask you to honor that with a pledge, 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT Houston. It's noon, and I'm going to pass the torch over here to my colleague David Courtney. And keep up the good work, Leo, and thanks to everyone for all of your support.
Dwayne, thanks a lot. 90.1 FM, Houston, Texas. That is where we are, and that's where you have turned your dial to. This is the New Capital Show. There is a lot of anxiety about the economy. I am not anxious about the economy. I am extraordinarily hopeful about the economy. Because of the ideas of people like Peter Brown and Jeffrey Garver, because of a return to science-based understandings of economics, science-based understanding, hell, science-based understanding of science, we are going to be giving birth as a country and as a world to all sorts of new businesses, all sorts of new models, all sorts of new relationships. And you can see this happening all over the place. So this is a time for great optimism and great hope. You know, here's an article today from New York Times. I read the New York Times a lot, and I get a lot of good information there. Moving Day Without All the Waste. This is an article about how you've probably seen offices that move. Oftentimes, they don't move in cardboard boxes. They move in big plastic crates that are reusable. And that's now coming to residential moving services, where the big plastic cardboard crates are reused, right? It looks like a big recycling bin, and everything's put into those, and they're stackable, and you move your house in that, and then they're just reused for somebody else. And I cannot tell you how many new business ideas there are that are going to be born, are going to succeed, and are going to spread and are going to help the planet, help the economy to cut down the amount of waste and inefficiency that we have through our economy. And one of the ways that you support those efforts is you support KPFT, because KPFT is one of the only ways in our area that consistently gets the message out about these things going on. And so when somebody tunes their dial to us and they hear us talking about these things and they get excited about it and they hear about, oh, I can when I make a move or I move my house, I can be thinking about calling a company that uses, you know, rentagreenbox.com rather than using cardboard, which is a biodegradable, but which cannot be reused after the box is used. All sorts of things like that. We're in the forefront of bringing those things to people's attention. So the number is 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT, as we go through our winter pledge drive. My guests, I hope you had a chance to hear earlier, were Jeffrey Garver and Peter Brown. Right Relationship was the book, and you can pick up that book. That's the book that I am highlighting today because I think it's the book, a book that everybody can benefit from. I've been working my way through the book, and I think it's very, very well written to talk about how to build a whole earth economy. Those guys are exactly right. People running the economy, and they're not bad people. Ben Bernanke's not a bad person, but Ben Bernanke is operating on a set of economic orthodoxies that are, you know, 100 years old or more, and do not include whole aspects of the way the earth behaves and the way the earth responds, whole aspects of that don't include how social communities respond to economic circumstances. Everything's based upon, you know, these formulaic supply and demand responses, and not everything is going to operate properly within that framework when that's where you're coming from. And so they're exactly right that the people who run our economies, they need to, yes, pay attention to the things that they pay attention to, but they have to expand their repertoires far more, make them much broader, and include understandings of the workings of the earth, the workings of human communities, the workings of social justice, and so on. The things that we believe in at KPFT to be able to create an economy for the future.
I might want to interrupt here.
Absolutely.
And say that many people are sharing this view. And as a matter of fact, I'd like to thank Michelle out in Conroe, who is a renewing member, and she loves the New Capital Show, and she's renewed her membership for $100.
The New Capital Show loves you, Michelle.
Yes, and so everything is going. And again, I might like to remind you that the number to call is 713-526-5738. And being numerically challenged as I am, I remember it by 713-JAM-KPFT. So whatever it takes for you to remember the number, just come and give us a call, because this is a chance to show how important KPFT is to you and to the community, and how important the New Capital Show is, because this is a fresh look on things, you know, possibly a different tack on things from what you may have been exposed to before. And that's what KPFT is all about. It's about perspective. It's about alternative views on things. Remember, the whole nature of perspective is it's not a question of a right or wrong image. It's a question of a different images of the same thing that, by their differences, will give you a clearer picture of what's going on. And perspective is the name of the game.
David, that's exactly right. I mean, and I think that the example that Peter Brown and Jeff Garver were giving about Ben Bernanke, it wasn't saying that his ideas are wrong unto themselves, or that they are inoperable. What they're saying is that his perspective is not broad enough, and that our policymakers in the economy have got to have a broader perspective if we're going to get an economy that is a sustainable economy. And that's the key word, sustainable. Do we have something that's going to last? Because we don't, you know, life is wonderful. The earth is wonderful. The bounty that we have, the food that is produced, the incredible beauty of the planet, these are wonderful, wonderful things, and we want them to remain. We want them to stay for generations and generations to come. And our scientists are telling us that those things are threatened. They're threatened. And we have to heed the information that's coming back from scientists worldwide, and we have to bring our economies into accord with those findings. And therefore, it's not good enough for economic policymakers to say, you know, we're going to lower or raise interest rates, and that's it. That's going to control everything, and the money supply is going to be this size or that size, and if the economy tanks, we're going to take this set of actions and that set of actions. No, we have got to have a much broader perspective to be able to craft an economy that's going to work for the species of the world, that's going to work for the ecosystems of the world, that's going to work for the people of the world and the animals of the world. And so that is something that you are only going to hear about, frankly, I think, with any consistency in media here in Houston, Texas, and, you know, maybe for that matter, anywhere in Texas, although I suspect somewhere in Austin or San Antonio you'll hear a little bit, but nowhere will you hear it consistently as you will hear at KPFT. KPFT is a treasure, and can you imagine Houston not having KPFT? I mean,
that's almost unimaginable.
Just stop a second as you're listening to me and just imagine KPFT gone. Not here. That's it. It's just gone. And as you're turning the station, you know, you're getting, you know, a bunch of music and some guys talking about the Rockets winning by 10 last night. And I, by the way, I only know that because I heard some people talking about it. It's not on my radar. Although I like people who like basketball, that's great. You'll hear about how to arrange your trading to trade stocks so that you can make a living rather than making a living teaching or doing something like that. Or you'll hear Rush Limbaugh. You'll hear some good things on 88.7. But that's going to be about it. So if you stop and imagine KPFT going away, it's really a very, very sobering thing to think about.
And
so
I might want to add how really easy it is and inexpensive it is to support the station. Like, let's say that you wish to go for something very modest. Let's say $100. Now, $100 might sound like a lot right now, but it actually isn't. It only comes to 27 cents a day. You're going to lose more of that in the couch than by pledging to us. And look how much more useful it can be. Well, I might like to point out that a number of people have also realized how important it is to them. I would like to thank Kelly here in Houston, Texas, who is again renewing and loves the show, loves KPFT, and Kelly is helping us out to the amount of $20. Everything helps. We also have another renewing member, and this one is David, also in the Houston area, and he's becoming entering at the regular membership of $35. So we'd like to thank David. And then there's also Roxanne out in Seabrook, Texas. And this is her first time to donate to KPFT. So we'd like to especially thank Roxanne for joining our family. And she's been generous enough, and she's helping us out with $200.
Roxanne and David and Kelly. Is that it, David, or there's more? There's more.
Well, they're coming in. I mean, the phones are active, and people are realizing how important this is, how important the station is, how important the program is. And again, let's say even, you know, it's amazing how really sometimes easy some things are. Like, for instance, let's say $1 a day. Okay, now, let's say you have been going to that expensive coffee place, you know the one I'm talking about, and decided that maybe for personal reasons or health reasons or corporate reasons or for whatever reasons you want to scale back. Okay, if you go back to the less expensive coffee, just one a day, that's going to save you $1 a day. Now, you can improve your condition that way, and if you donate that $1 a day to KPFT, do you realize that's $365? You've been able to help yourself, you've been able to help your community, you've been able to help everything just by, you know, going to that less expensive coffee and donating the difference to us. Because let me ask you, if you had a choice, would you want to donate it to a corporate entity, or would you want to donate it to KPFT, which is, you know, interested in your benefit, welfare, the welfare of the community? And it has, I believe, a considerably broader view of things than some corporate entity.
That's it. You hear it there from David Courtney. You know, folks, the act of allocating capital is so critical in everything that we do in all the different layers of our society. And there are so many who believe that capital has been very, very poorly allocated in the past decades. I'm certainly one of those. New Yorkers are starting to understand that. Here is the news. Yankee Stadium burdens the mayor's campaign. And here is the news that New Yorkers are starting to rebel against $372 million in tax-free financing for the new Yankee Stadium. Everywhere across the country, people are starting to decide that the way we are allocating capital and the projects that we're allocating capital to are misguided, and we can better allocate capital in other ways. I hope, as I wrap up this edition of the New Capital Show, you will believe that KPFT is a project that's been going on for four decades and deserves your support for the coming years. You can do that by calling 713-526-5738. 713-526-KPFT is the number for you to say, I want to allocate some of my capital. This is a project I believe in. This is a worthy project, because indeed it certainly is. That does it for another edition of the New Capital Show. David Courtney, thank you for helping me out.
Well, thank you, and keep up the good work. And again, that's 713-JAM-KPFT or 713-526-5738. And as I said, this is your station. This is your program. And show how it is important to you and the community. So again, 713-JAM-KPFT. Thank you.